And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop. And when I got the chance to go, I said I should go, and so I opened up.
We were only the small little fish out there, so we are, and we're trying hard to make it through. But it's hard to get the breaks when you're the smaller fish.
Because I love this county so much, you know. And it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken.
All right, you're welcome along to the GAR Hurling Show. We've branched out. The hurling snobs can relax. There is no more big ball nonsense talk. No more Joe Brawley. This is just pure hurling until the end of September. So it's great to be back. Michael Carton, welcome to the GAR. We had Conal Keeney getting the call back into Dublin. So you're replacing Conal Keeney?
Absolutely, yeah. It's great.
Great. No call yourself from Pat Gilroy?
Seems that
everybody in Dublin hurling has got a call back in.
I think I'm too young. I'm 33.
Because 33 is not old when Conal Keeney is getting
absolutely,
back.
Absolutely, absolutely. He doesn't run around too much anyway, so he'd be like a statue out there.
Just in case Keeney is listening, I'm sure he is. I dropped him off the WhatsApp group there, and he sent me a message in off the group, going to get peeled by people for the whole year. He says this is just going to be his life now. Being analysed, he's back into the mix. Paddy Stapleton is here too. Paddy, how's it going?
Not so bad. How are you, Willie?
All good. We're back again for another year. And I want to talk about, because league previews are fairly difficult kind of to narrow things down on. But I suppose to start off the chat is this is a whole new year. This is a whole new structure. And this is a whole new way teams are going to have to look at their year. Because, let's be honest, we're starting with a league. And then we're taking a break for 5-6 weeks, and then we have another league. So, is this kind of devaluing the league that the championship has become a league? So what is the league? We know that hurling teams take the league really seriously in comparison maybe to football. All the big teams care about the league and want to win it because it's a really good competitive competition. Are we going to see a bit of a change in focus here, Michael, when you look at the year, the bigger picture?
As you said, the hurling league is taking a lot more serious things than the football, but purely because 1B is so hard to get out of, I think. I've been down there myself, and it's very tough when you get down. You see how Limerick are stuck down there a long, long time now, and I know Waterford didn't take it too seriously last year, but they managed to stay up. I think that's the major factor. You have to stay up 1A just to get that experience for championship.
Yeah, but Galway didn't.
I know. But then they were league winners, though, you know. So
yeah,
they had that winner mentality going into championship, which I think is huge to have going into championship, that winner mentality. So I know 1B gives you a chance to test players. You can, 1A, if you lose 2 or 3 games, you're onto a losing streak straight away. Whereas 1B, you can test out players and see what you have and the depth in your panel.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I've always said that 1B is a much better place to be because you can sleepwalk into the league like Galway did last year, find yourself in a league quarter final because you will get into it. And suddenly then you've got these competitive games that you need. And Paddy, it doesn't paint a great picture for the league when you have Waterford, you've Galway sleepwalking into the league, not getting promoted, win the All-Ireland. You've Waterford who pretty much put out a dummy team in the quarter-final because they wanted to concentrate on the championship. They made the All-Ireland final. Now we've got that bigger gap to focus on this year. Maybe I'm trying to paint a picture of teams not taking the league as seriously as they might have years gone by.
Yeah, I think it is different, especially now with the two league system. You have your league and then you have your league system for Munster and Leinster. I think it'd be very silly to try and be guns blazing with a first team, even chancing relegation for 1A. If I was a team, I'd say my big priority, obviously you want to stay up, but if you need new players, which most teams need 2 or 3 new players, you need to get them at that stage because you're not going to really bid them. I think nearly the Munster and the Leinster's turned into what the league was last year because you were trying to play well and win it but still bid in teams. But now it is after calling back a little bit. And also the other thing, say Galway did very poorly for a number of weeks in the league, then cranked it up, got to the semis in the final, they were flying. Then they were really coming into Leinster, flew through Leinster. And then, by the time of the All-Ireland semi, All-Ireland final, they were still playing well, but they probably had peaked, they probably had peaked around Leinster. Even against Tipperary, they could have been caught that day, and it was a marginal win. And so they were hurling way, way better, I would say, 3 or 4 weeks before that. So it is a timing thing. And I think there may be a team, I'd even look at Dublin now and say they really want to start off well, do well in the league, build confidence after a few bad years, that's the sort of teams that will be taken seriously. But other teams, I think, build your players make sure they're right, and then, you know, you have your few games to get right. And, you know, if you're a good enough team at all in your Leinster or your Munster groups, you should be good enough to make a quarter final. If you're not, it won't be the fault of, you know, not doing well in the league.
Yeah, well, that's the thing now. I think that peaking thing is interesting because it's so scientific now, Michael. It's like it's laid out. This is where we're doing our heavy training. This is where, and it builds up into a crescendo for championship. So, like, I mean, is this what we're going to see from the league now? Almost like a pre-season competition where you're still working away on your fitness training. You're hitting the championship with a view of playing four guaranteed championship games. So, like, I mean, that's your ease into the championship, and then you're kind of hoping to peak for the knockout phase of that. Is it getting so scientific now?
I think the league is going to be used for managements to find their best team. So they're going to try all their panel, all their players. And do you really want to be peaking for a league final or getting to a league final? And then you're a month away with the club.
Because if you peak for a league final, what do you do then? Do you have to give them 3 weeks off and build it up again? You can't, like, when you peak, you have to stay at that peak, and it's not easy to maintain that right throughout. So, like, I mean, if teams are looking to build up to that peak, wouldn't it be crazy to be peaking at the end of March, which is the league around the league final?
I know it's a juggling act for managers.
It's a difficult juggling act.
Their best team, but again, if you peak by the league final, where do you go from there? So I think all the strength and conditioning coaches and managements all have a system and they work it out for the whole year. And but you have to be playing well as well, you know. So it's you can't tell lads, "Oh, don't be playing that well."
No, well, that's
so
the
we
thing.
Don't peak. So
there's peaking in a playing sense and there's peaking in a fitness sense.
Absolutely. But I think like for throughout the league, it's finding your best team, and most counties are going to be without there's some star players with Fitzgibbon and that. So it's lads' chance to step up and fight for your spot. So you might have some lads that have been in the background that come good for league, and you'll find them for championship, you know.
That's
few stars.
Colm Callan and Paddy was quoted saying, "Fellas don't really know how to gear towards that." We're talking about the new structure now, because I'd say there's fitness coaches, there's managers, there's strength and conditioning coaches, and they're all scratching their heads now because they're like, "How the hell do we do this? We've nothing to work on." And a lot of them kind of based on what did we do last year, you know, and kind of copying that. This script has been ripped up now. So Colm says, "Fellas don't really know how to gear towards that. They're going to have to find out themselves as the games go by. In that regard, it's everybody back down to the base of the mountain and go again." So, like, I mean, this is a whole new kind of like structure, a whole new year, and there's going to be an awful lot of trial and error, and managers this time next year saying, "Well, we got it all wrong last year because we did this with the league kind of messed up," and then back to the clubs, and you have all this new dynamic of club matches in April, which, like, it's like two completely different seasons now.
Yeah, 100%. That's exactly what it is. That's why I think myself the league won't take on a huge role, because by the time you build up some sort of head of steam in that, or you get to the league final or win the league, then you're only half training with your county team then for the month of April, and then you're into your 3 or 4 week build up for your first round of your Munster or Leinster Championship provincial. So I think it's very, very different, and it's 2 points really. There's the strength and conditioning, and obviously physically you don't want to peak too soon, or you don't want to be overcooked, undercooked, and that's up to those. But personally, I think if a strength and conditioning person is coming into the job, they're after doing their course and their experience, and they know what the body takes, you know. But that's one end of it. The other end is psychological. If you're used to one thing, which was a game every few weeks last year, and you wouldn't be in with your club too much, then it's very difficult now to say, right, you're playing 4 or 5 games week after week in your provincial championship. That is going to be a real key area, I think, that we're so not used to. Barry got in the qualifiers, and it can either, you can actually start off great, and I've done it before. 2010 we kept playing, and in 2014 and you were peaking very well, but also it can be very demanding, very physical. Like, it's such a combative sport, you know. You look at soccer and sometimes football, is if you have good players, they can use their skill and technique and they can keep the ball, and they're just better and better brains. But in hurling, if you're playing a poor team but they're winning all the balls because they're hungrier, then you will still find it hard to win. So, like, you still need to keep that hunger up to the last, obviously up to an All-Ireland final if you get there. So it's going to be, I think the manager is key this time, you know, not pass the buck. They have to keep their team fresh and selections in what they do.
I think the April for clubs thing is really interesting, Michael, because Like, I mean, on paper it all sounds great, oh, go back to your clubs. But, like, I mean, if players are being honest, and I remember when I was playing with Laois and Laois were going well, and Portlaoise are a really successful club, really big club. I didn't want to know about Portlaoise till Laois was over. I didn't really. Like, I mean, I used to go up to the odd training session, but the idea of playing a game with Portlaoise, potentially getting injured and missing a Leinster Championship match in Croke Park with Laois, like, would terrify me. So I don't know. Now there's talk that you'll train during April with your county and you can play club league games. Like, it's a new dynamic thrown on players where you've got such a focused tunnel vision with the county and it's so demanding, and now you're going to be pulled away for 3 weekends in April to play club games. And I can just see players going to their club manager and saying, I'm injured. And the inter-county manager saying, look, I don't want to rock the boat, just say you have a tweak of a hamstring, and they'll get out of it that way. I don't see with Munster and Leinster Championship starting, I think Leinster Championship starts 14th of May, that you're going to be playing 3 club games throughout April before that. Like, I mean, is that just, is it pie in the sky stuff? Or, like, I know players always throw out the song bites about the club and they're honest about that, but they just, like, still at the same time, the county is the most important thing when you're playing county.
Absolutely.
Is that fair?
Absolutely. But managers will harp on to you, inter-county managers especially, about personal responsibility. So if you leave for 3 weeks, you want to come back fitter and fresher in 3 weeks' time. But the other aspect is, the inter-county panel is so big, you're going to have lads on junior teams and intermediate teams, and what standard are they training at for the next 3 weeks?
Yeah,
it's completely different. Not everyone's from a top senior club in your county, so it's going to be interesting to see. Like, we had a few junior lads going back and they used to say they did nothing for 2 weeks. You
see,
know?
That's the really important point.
They weren't that unhappy about it.
Yeah.
But see, it's different. Like, if you're going back to the likes of Ballyboden or Coolah, it's inter-county standard of going back to your club, but not everyone goes back to that.
Or even going back to play a junior match and having some hatchet man from a rival club getting the swipe at you that he wants to get at
you. Absolutely.
Like, I mean,
there's enough of them out there.
There's loads of them. Like,
yeah,
I mean.
So it's interesting. So lads will have to take that personal responsibility and come back. No, I think players themselves will love it, because you get that 2 week breakaway with your club, it's less stress, less pressure. And then you come back and you should be that bit fresher when you come back with your inter-county. So
yeah,
I think it's a good step.
Okay, like, there's loads of stuff to talk. We could actually do the hour on these championship structures here, but we don't have time, unfortunately. I want to talk quickly about these sudden death frees, lads, because these are going to be a feature of the championship this year. So there's going to be no replays in any championship match outside of provincial finals and All-Ireland final. And these are going to be separated, are going to be decided by the sudden death playoff 65. So we've seen, like, I mean, they're only in once. We've seen them in football and in hurling. Hurling fared a little bit better than the football, Paddy. The football was a disaster. It was 2-1. The hurling went 3-2. Wexford missed the first two, then got 3 good ones. How difficult is it to score a 65 after 70 minutes of hurling and then 10 minutes either side of extra time? Like, how difficult are we talking here?
I think this would be the psychological expectation is worse than the tiredness. I think if you get 5 minutes off there, you're alright to stand up to a free, but I know I'd probably be the last man on the team to be asked to take one, but if you're not used to taking one for Kilkenny or Wexford last day, I mean, you're absolutely shitless going up there. Like, you have to be. You're just you're so not used that you're questioning everything you're about to do. You probably don't have a set technique. Like, you know, the TJRE goes up and hits the ball the very same way every time you take the free and nearly perfect. But, like, you're so unsettled. Like, that's why lads mishit it the other day, and it's like taking penalties in soccer. You ever see a lad walking up and he kicks one at the keeper, or, you know, absolutely, you know, terrible into the stand. That's what happens, because you're just not used to it in that situation. Like, it, you know, very entertaining. Like, but I don't know what I'd like to be the one that's taking.
Well, that's the thing. So you could have a lad in the forwards that takes frees for his club and he could say, look, I don't fancy it today, I've got a knock in the shoulder or whatever. And then some fella who doesn't take frees, doesn't have the routine, is man enough to stand up in his position and say, I will, you know, the lad's with character, I don't mind, I'm willing to take this on. He's got no routine. And then you have an example of poor John Walsh, who doesn't even rise the ball up. Now, I don't want to make light of John Walsh, because the conditions were terrible and that was pressurised. But, like, I mean, this is an example of fellas who are not maybe used to it.
Who's going to be the English team with the penalties, like, in the frees with the counties? But, like, sure, I know when I was playing, there was mad men playing cornerback or whatever, and they'd want to be taking something. They'd be the first men with their hands up. You know?
Yeah, sit back down here.
Yeah, you'd be there looking.
I admire your
bottle.
Yeah,
exactly, yeah, exactly. They'd be mad to take one. But, I think it's great for the public. They're going to love it. It's a bit of interest at the end of games. But players-wise, you put so much hard work in for it to finish with frees. it might be a bit hard to take, but look, you know where you stand, you know where to lay the land. So I don't know if the teams are going to be training now, doing a little bit of free taking at the end of training.
I think they'll have to.
It'd be interesting to see, and hopefully they'll have their five men picked or how long it goes on for pre-match, you know.
Yeah, no, I think that's great, but you can have your five lads picked pre-match, but then they could be taken off, they could be injured, all those kind of things. And absolutely. Then it's, I think it may be, like, even on the penalties, we see soccer, and that's, they've been in there for so long, they actually literally just pick the fellas on the field at that time, you know what I mean? Maybe it's not something that you can. And I like soccer, often when they're practicing penalties, the whole team practice the penalties because they can go on past the five, and you know what I mean? If John Walsh hadn't missed Paddy, then suddenly you're heading towards maybe you territory getting called off if it's
well, I heard they go back through the five again, do they? Am I wrong in saying that?
Oh, is that right? Sorry, I didn't know that. I thought maybe you might,
I think they're trying to take into account the likes of myself, they're embarrassment of play.
Oh my God, yeah, that maybe that's the case. I didn't read that. Before we move into the league, lads, I just want one other thing, and this was a quote from Brian Cody, and I'm just wondering to get your thoughts on this, because we talked about this helmet rule last year and all those high profile cases, and in fairness the CCCC used their common sense with the last two. It was Tadhg Na Bhfirce that got kind of screwed over for his All-Ireland semi-final, but the other ones got off it. But it was Brian Cody and Davy Fitz. It's a new year and it's a war of words between these two, and this is a rivalry now because Kilkenny, Wexford seemed to have Kilkenny's number. But Cody was given out about his player, I think it was Richie Reid, getting sent off, and he pulled Matthew O'Hanlon's helmet. And what Cody said, he said, and this is unusual for Cody to be coming out in public saying this, but he said, "Very disappointing when a player starts roaring and bawling about his helmet and showing his helmet to everybody and a player is sent off in the wrong." Now, because all that controversy last summer about these helmets, and I want you to tell me how often your helmet is interfered with innocuously, and will players now start showing the fact that their strap has opened and start running around to the referee? Because that's only natural. Everyone's a competitor, and we see lads brandishing yellow cards in Gaelic football and soccer. In hurling this year, are we going to see examples of players, like Brian Cody says Matthew O'Hanlon did, saying, ref, look at my helmet, because we know the punishment is so severe?
Yeah, it's creeping in, I suppose. You see it in the club all the time now. The younger lads coming through are much more vocal of going to the referee.
Really? Stuff.
Absolutely. And I suppose going back 10 years, it didn't happen. You could get a slap for hurling, no one would be saying anything, you'd be hitting them back. But these days, refs are so strict. If you don't say anything to them, nothing will happen. So I can see both sides, but I don't like players running to refs with their helmet straps off, but it's definitely going to happen this year.
Really? And you've noticed the younger fellas who would have had this, like, I mean, grew up with the helmets a little bit more.
They're much more vocal about it, right, than the older lads. But I expect it. Look, if you're a management, you're going to say to your players, don't touch a helmet. And I think, I know Cody's more concerned about the vocalising of the Wexford lads going to the referee, but you just can't touch a helmet, and that's the fact. Like, and if straps are going to come off and little melees and that, they're going to be going straight to the ref, and you have to expect it.
My God. Paddy, have you seen an increase in this, maybe a club? Like, I mean, you had a good run with the club, but would you see it just based on the high profile examples last year, lads saying, my strap is off, look at this ref?
I haven't seen it too often now, but I think because everybody has to be careful about it, you nearly feel, if somebody pulls at your helmet, you know, on purpose, you nearly feel a disservice. Like, we're all trying to play by the rules here, and you know well you're not supposed to be pulling this helmet, it's the red card, and an idiot, you know, does it. And you can do it under a bit of strain, you know, the red comes down, descends, but, like, I mean, it does happen a bit more, and I think it's that whole thing, you shouldn't do something and people just automatically reach for it, because for years you'd never see a helmet really pulled much at all. But now it does, but I think they need to be careful. Like, we've seen a couple of ones last year with Bennett from Waterford pulled, and that's fine, but then the ones with Tadhg Na Bhfirce, and they're just pushed off the helmet and that. I think there has to be a massive distinction between them. But I haven't actually seen it too much last year, really, to be honest with you. There were tough battles, but there wasn't much helmet pulling or anybody crying about it. But it definitely, I would say it's creeping in a little bit more. I've seen it a couple of times, and look, I'm no angel myself. I've had the hand on a helmet, and it wasn't on purpose now anytime I did it, but it certainly was. But I would have felt hard done by if I was put off when you were just in the midst of grappling for a ball.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, that's the thing. For me, looking from the outside, hurling such a manly game, and you have to buy a free. So it would just the optics of hurling to see lads running around trying to get another lad sent off because of such a stupid thing about the helmet. It would just, if that creeps in this year, it's just going to be terrible. And I'm disappointed the GAA didn't just kind of shore up that rule, because it's not like we didn't talk about it enough last year that there's a red card offence for an aggressive pull and then there's a yellow card offence for an innocuous interference, yeah, which sometimes you can't. But they haven't changed that, which I was really surprised about, even despite Grill and Jarlett Burns on the show here one time last year. Obviously did no good. Listen, we'll take a quick break and we'll be back with a look ahead to the league.
It's tough. I won't tell you, there's no point in papering over like that. It is extremely tough. I won't tell you, but again, it's not about me or Morris or anyone else. It's about Waterford.
We've waited so long. I know I've seen one of your tweets yesterday. It said 6 years. It's obviously a leash, man, but it's a long 6 years for us there, and we're absolutely thrilled.
I remember after we went to the final, I was at Tuesday morning. My nephew was out in the lawn and he was baking freeze with his socks pulled up, pretending to be TJ Reid, and he fairly brought me back down to earth that day anyway.
Yeah, lads, when you look at Division 1A, it's just, you know, it's hard to get not to get excited about Absolutely. This league. Like, I mean, it's sensational. Every game is going to be a big game. You've got Wexford, who on paper look like the weakest team in the division, but at the same time, Wexford are on a trajectory where they've been killing themselves for the last 3 months. They're going to target this league to see what they're made of. They're going to want to be able to compete with the big boys. Then you'll have the Waterfords, the Kilkennys, the Tips, who might not be at the same pitch as Wexford, so Wexford could easily do really well in the league and be one of the stronger teams. So on paper, this is just a sensational league, Michael.
Oh, it's great. Look, there are six fantastic teams and there's three great games this weekend. And personally myself, I fancy Tip. I think last year they were a bit all over the place and never really got going, and I fancy them for the league this year and championship.
Really?
Personally, yeah, absolutely.
They're very quiet down there. We'll get to that in a minute.
There's not much coming out. There's not much talk about them, and they love that. Absolutely love it. There won't be as much pressure on them this year, and we'll have to see how go. We sit with the pressure from last year.
Yeah.
Playing league and championship winners, and how did they work that out? So personally, I fancy Tip this year.
This time last year Tip were the new Kilkenny. This time this year you don't hear a word about them, which probably will suit you down
Absolutely.
There, Paddy. Like, Shane McCallan is going to miss, pretty much going to miss the league, which is a big blow. But like, Tip have the panel to be able to handle that. So what's the talk about down there?
Well, just as Michael said, there's no talk. I think a lot of that is they haven't really played any high profile. They played Dublin, I think, in the challenge game, but they haven't played any hugely high profile games, keeping out with the Munster League and stuff. And I think it will suit them. And look, it's obvious Tip weren't at their best last year. I think just in terms of adrenaline and up for it after winning the year before, I don't think they were at maybe the Galway match. You know, for parts of that they competed unreal well. But I think the league will suit them well because they do need to sign players. I think they need to mix the team up a little bit more. They need to put players in new positions because, you know, I was looking at it the other day, they probably have, you know, 10 players that you know are going to be starting. You know, it doesn't matter what way you put it around, they're going to be starting. But there needs to be a couple of lads put in the league and gone with, and a couple of lads maybe in the forward line needs to be moved around a little bit, because, you know, every day you go out you probably know who's going to be playing in the full forward line, and I think it's easy playing against a team who has the same recipe every time. But I remember Kilkenny going well, you know, Shefflin could be brilliant full forward one day, but the next day he could be in the corner out in the wing, and it's just very, very hard to plan for. So I think they, you know, that's the sort of thing they need to look at. They have the core group, but they need the supporting act to be as good.
Maybe, is that something you would think about, Michael? Like, I mean, their full forward line is so brilliant, but it's set in stone. You know what I mean? It's McGrath, it's Callanan, and it's Bubbles, and that's pretty much how we know Tipperary going line up. They don't really throw out a surprise, and all three can play at somewhere else.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's someone's time to step up now for Callanan full forward, and it's not as if the talent's not in Tipperary. There's so many talented hurlers within that panel, so it's time for someone else to step up, because a lot of pressure's been put on Shamey for the last few years, and he stepped up to the mark. But I think it's someone else's turn now to step up, and see if they can carry it on next year.
Arguably the weakest team in the division, I'm going to throw this at you, is Clare. Because if you're going on recent form, you know, they haven't been performing well. We've been waiting for them to kick on. Like, I mean, they've been sticking to the same kind of smaller players for the last 5 years since they won the All-Ireland, and it hasn't been working for them. And if we're to go on the Munster League a little bit, maybe they're trying to move away from those smaller players. Like, Duggan's playing full forward. You have Cottle Malone on the wing. You have Niall Deasy, who's been playing wing forward, who's able to win his own ball. Are they starting to finally kind of realise that these small skillful hurlers will win it under 21, and they won in All-Ireland, fair play to them, but they haven't been able to move on from that with that style of play? Like, I'd imagine there must be to be a wing back or a corner back to be able just to clear it along the odd time and you know, have a Duggan to win it. Like, it must be a huge relief to go, geez, I'm just getting rid of this, instead of Clare. They must have to concentrate so hard all the time to be playing that game that they want to play.
Yeah, it's a game, if you play it well, which they have, it has huge rewards. But if it breaks down, you're going to get goals, and defences know that and forwards know that. The short passing game, when it breaks down, it's great for an opposition. But I think with the likes of John Conlon, and Duggan's flying this year and in all competitions, they've new outlets. So unfortunately, like, for the last few years, it's been all reliable on John Conlon to win high ball there, but Duggan's flying, Conlon's flying, and with the likes of Galvin and Tony Kelly's been man marshalled every game he plays. He's a marked man.
Yeah,
so it's tough for him to get on ball, so they might have to look at the position now, like a new position for him to try and get space and freedom and get back on the ball, and he makes them tick.
Has he gone off the boil a little bit?
I don't think it's off the boil. Like, you see, you have him and Austin Gleeson, like, every game they're marked men. Like, if you stop them, you have a great chance of beating Waterford or Clare. And like, man markers these days aren't the old sledgers they used to be. They're fit and they'll stick to it.
Yeah.
You know, the game's evolved through that way. So I think, like, Tony Kelly at midfield might get more freedom than Tony Kelly at centre forward, you know. But that's something they'll have to look at within Clare, because they have to get him on the ball.
Yeah.
And like, the same with Waterford, you can't be playing Austin Gleeson everywhere. I think you have to pick a position, because he tries to do everything and he's such a good hurler. You just need him on the ball and making Waterford tick. So
that's the thing. Maybe midfield is the best place for Tony Kelly now, Paddy. Like, because you'd imagine the centre half forward, obviously you talk about playing centre forward, the centre back will let you hurl a little bit, but not when you're Tony Kelly or Austin Gleeson. We saw with Gleeson last year, they're moving corner backs out on him to play centre half back and just tracking him. So maybe midfield might disrupt the opposition a little bit more.
Definitely, wholeheartedly agree with that, because those two teams then at times play with a spare man back. So really, you get your spare man to mark their good player, which is Tony Kelly or Austin Gleeson, and then your natural centre back just sits right in front of the full back line and actually plays the centre back role that we all want our centre back to play, which is a deep line role, protect the full back line. So, okay, that's fine. You have your player, you think he's running free around the place, but really there's a corner back after him. Midfield then, you know, it's as much as you man mark a man midfield, it just gets so mixed up. It's like a washing machine. Everything gets so mixed up around the middle third that he's going to get free, you know, and that's, you know, I agree with that. And the other thing with Clare is, like, people don't think that for 3 or 4 years with Davey, he likes the sharp passing, he likes to find the man with the ball, and there's no shame in that. But now they're trying to change. So you're still caught between what your natural instinct is and maybe driving and having a new, maybe more off the cuff style, and they just have to try and have to work that out over the league. And I suppose that's why the league will be very, very valuable for them. But until you get, I don't think, like, sharp passing to beat a very, very good team is extremely hard, because usually the good teams are the fit, strong, fast teams before you even look at skill, and a lot of the time they can turn you over. If you turn a sharp passing team over, you don't really need an assist. It's usually straight over the bar.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I suppose. And, like, I mean, when they won the All-Ireland, I suppose they played Cork, who kind of let them maybe play that way a little bit. But there's going to be a big name going to be dropped then for Clare. If we're going to look at, you know, picking a bigger, more physical forward line, like, I mean, you've got Podge, you've got Conor McGrath, you've got Shane O'Donnell. That can't realistically be your full forward line if you want, you know, Duggan in there for a high ball. And if you want DC and Cal Malone there for a bit of physical presence in the half forward line, some big name in that forward line is going to have to go.
Yeah, more than likely they'd be dropped, but wouldn't there be something else to bring on?
Well, that's it.
You know,
yeah.
I think the game has evolved so much. It's not like when we were playing, if you were taken off after 60 minutes, you were disgusted. These days, it's give everything for 50 or 60 minutes, and then they're bringing on an impact sub. And if you're bringing on one of the likes of them lads, like Podge Collins coming on for the last 10 minutes, you wouldn't fancy being a cornerback shattered. Like,
no.
With him coming on, running all over the pitch.
Hodge has gone off the boil too for some reason. Like, he's nearly been gone off the boil longer than Tony Kelly has been.
Absolutely.
Off. Maybe I'm being a bit unfair on Tony Kelly.
The season they had in 2013, he was exceptional. And,
yeah.
And to keep that open, that's the marker then laid down. People are going to expect that every year. And the unfortunate thing is, if you're that good in a year, you're going to be a marked man. So say Paddy would have had a job of marking Podge and not letting him out of his sight, and he mightn't have got that treatment the previous year,
because
he was relatively unknown.
Have they moved Podge away from that roving corner forward role though, Paddy? Because, like, I mean, that was the position he was so successful in. I see him playing kind of centre forward now. I'd imagine when he's playing that corner forward roving role, you have a decision: am I going to follow this lad who's in live wire all over the field, or will I let him off and cover my full back line? And then he has a completely free role and he's all over the place, and if you follow him, it's not easy to follow Podge, and you're leaving a 2-1-2 inside. So, like, I mean, that seemed like such a good tactic to play him number 13, let him do whatever he wants, give him a complete, because he does play off the cuff, and has he been getting that, doing that role enough for them since?
Possibly not, but he definitely was a centre forward now, nearly an out centre forward last year. But I can't remember the league last year. I remember writing about it on the AAB article I did, and he was probably one of the players of the league. You know, he was. But maybe he had such a good league, he was a victim of that. And I'd say he was tightly marshalled after that, because he didn't seem to get the time on the ball and be able to turn. Like, in the league, he was getting it turning and going towards the goal, but in Championship, I can't remember him doing that too many times. So I reckon that team said, look, maybe we underestimated him again, and that they put a lad tighter on him. But then now we're saying, you have Podge, he's getting unmarked, and if Tony Kelly, Tony Kelly, the same thing. Like, they just need to step up as a team altogether and give teams so much trouble that eventually two or three lads are given so much hassle that another person is getting room again. So I think there's only so, and I hear that a lot, this lad's not getting room and that not getting room. At the end of the day, you know, it's 15 on 15, and you have to bait your man. That's the way it's always been. So maybe, you know, they need to look at themselves too, but maybe a little change in role. But I still say the same thing, he's going to be marked tight. So they just need to, you know, pull by the horns and go for it.
Yeah, it seems like almost Groundhog Year, because I was looking at the notes from last year, and it was like Clare off the cuff hurling was the talk, and they had small players. And this year we have Kilkenny, you have Eddie Brennan talking on Game On last night about Kilkenny not having a number 3 or a number 6, and that was exactly their problems this time last year, and we discussed it with JJ, and they tried to shuffle things around, putting Padraig Walsh full back, not really working, and you know, Joyce has retired now, so they're back in the same position as they were, in that it's still a pretty strong team on paper, but no number 6 and no number 3. And in hurling, how important are those two positions, Michael?
Oh, they're huge, and they've evolved so much. It used to be a big full back and a big centre back, but now centre forwards are small and full forwards are small, and they're fast, so you really have to think about them central positions. They're so important for your team. Like, Kenny are in a new era, they're relatively unknown, some players, you know, and they're going to have to test these out. I think they might struggle in the league this year, personally. Like, they've lost 3 in a row to Wexford now, and Cody will not be happy with that, and he'll want to put a stop to that immediately. But I just think they're in a new testing period. They're going to have to test out new players there, and to do that in 1A is going to be very tough and get wins. So I think they might struggle in certain games this year.
Paul Murphy is out for the league, and Colin Fennelly is going to be out for the league. They're both stationed overseas with the Army. But Paddy, I don't know. Like, I mean, it doesn't look like if Kilkenny had replacements and had players for these positions, we would have seen it last year. Instead of robbing Peter to play Paul, and like taking Walsh out of wing back, where he was an all star and a brilliant attacking wing back, and you know, they're obviously not there, the replacements.
Well, that's it. And I think I've talked to a couple of Kilkenny people that I think would be quite in the know, you know, and they would say that they're probably not there at the minute. They're just after coming back like every other team now. You know, every other team is like this. If any good team lost their central players, you know, 3 or 4 good players, you're in a bit of trouble. You know, Dublin did it, they were in trouble, they lost a few key players, and the level really dropped. So that's what we're seeing now. And it just means that they might have to wait a few years. I'm like I saw a couple of games last year, saw their 21s, and I can't see where the players to make the real difference are going to come this year. Now, they always have good school teams. You have Kieran's down there at Kilkenny Colleges. And in the next 3 years, you could see an influx of huge players. But at the minute, you can't. Even the people that have been brought into the lineup in the Walsh Cup and that, they're not particularly big, not particularly athletic, strong, fast. And that's a prerequisite to be hard to play against, I'd say.
Yeah.
And the scores they conceded last year, a lot of them, you just wouldn't have seen them conceded as easy in other years because they have those legs. Like people say, the work rate. Every team, you know, most teams try and work as hard as they can, but they were really blessed with fast, strong, tall, long rangey players that were just impossible to play against. And now you see that they probably don't have that anymore, maybe not for the next few years.
And is Cody tactical enough for the modern game now? Because, like, I mean, it's no secret that Wexford have their number now. And is that because Kilkenny just refused to stop driving it down to the sweeper? You know, like, I mean, Wexford were picked apart by Galway, who used the ball really, really well and didn't kind of fall into that trap of these long balls. But Kilkenny, that's their tradition, that's their style. Or am I being unfair on Kilkenny here and this is just, you know, they're just losing to Wexford for different reasons? Or is it because Cody, number one, doesn't know how to use the ball, coach them to use the ball better, and number two, doesn't use his own extra man at the other end well enough, you know, or know how to really do that, because that is not the game he loves or grew up with or believes in?
How much tactics did he need with that team of JJ and Tommy Walsh and Eddie Brennan? Really, they were all ball winners. They could all win primary possession. From playing them, having experience playing them, they didn't switch positions. You were marking the same man for the game, and yeah, he was expected to win his own ball in his area, and they all could. They could win primary possession. They had brilliant hands all over the pitch and they had pace everywhere. They're in a transitional period now where they can't do that. Like you've seen last year, he brought back a spare man into defence, which he never would have done before. I think they've lost a bit of pace in their defence, so I think they'll struggle with the likes of Clare or Cork, who are all so fast and pacey up front.
They look stale or something, don't they?
They do, and it's just a real transitional period for them, so he's going to have to change his tactics, whereas before I don't think it was win your own ball, and that's what was expected of them, where now it's going to have to be tactics to win games, because you're going to have to use, they've used the spare man. Are they used to that? No. So they're going to have to get used to playing five men in the forward line, which is, you won't get as many goals that way. You'll have to get a lot of points. So it's really a period where Cody's going to have to use his tactics to win these games, and it's going to be interesting to see.
Yeah, it is. And whether he wants to move on, but I think that's a great point, is the goals thing, Paddy, because that's what Kilkenny are famous for. And you know, we all know Kilkenny traditionally watch them after half time, and you know what I mean, they almost spook teams that they'll, yeah, go for the juggler. If there's sweepers there and goals are at a premium, is that Kilkenny's kind of whole kind of, you know, fear factor kind of gone a little bit?
Well, it is, you know, it is gone a little bit, and I think that's a lot of it. If you played them before, even with a sweeper, they had probably four or five lads who were far superior to the lads they were marking in the air. Okay, the lad they're marking might stop them 9 out of 10, but if you can get three or four balls caught in the forward line, just quick balls in, you know, you will do damage. And I hear a lot about that. Get a quick ball in isn't worth a damn if the lad inside isn't good enough to claim it. You know, that's why I see teams working the ball up the field, because you don't have the quality and it's too easy as a back. So it suited the way Brian Coley liked the game played, and he made them players as well. Like, you know, he drove on their strengths. You're big, you're strong, you're good in the air, you can catch the ball and all the rest. So that was their strength. Get it in as fast as you can, and you'd have your men under so much pressure. They'd have their men under so much pressure that you're at sixes and sevens at the back. And the other thing is, because they're competing so well in the forward line, they had runners coming off everything, because they knew, yeah, the back wasn't going to catch it.
Yeah.
So it was a perfect kind of storm. But now it's not. It's as I said, it's like every other team. You have your big lads, your small lads, you have your slower lads. You can't guarantee a lad is going to be, you know, Kilkenny forward is going to be stronger than his backman anymore. And it's just, you know, he has to look at it a small bit himself. But look, I'm sure he's done it before, but we are in a new modern age, and there's a lot more doubt. Even in Kilkenny people, when you talk to them, you can feel that more doubt about the whole setup now, and that, you know, the landscape has changed so much.
And they still have Cody, who's the X factor there. You've seen Ferguson win it with Man United in this last year with a pretty average team, and he brought them on. So, like, once Cody's there, they're still going to be a team to deal with in Championship. Like, you still can't write Kilkenny off ever. Yeah. It's the worrying point if he leaves, like, and the players aren't coming through, and then you'd be very worried for Kilkenny.
Yeah.
But while he's there, they're still always going to be thereabouts at the end of the Championship.
He does. He gives them that fear. He's like the Mick, you know, Mick O'Dwyer, when he was over us, teams feared us because of him even more.
Absolutely,
so. And like,
absolutely,
he did the same with Wicklow and all sorts of teams. Cody has that. But it's just interesting when you describe the Paddy there, the runners off the long ball. And like, I mean, it wasn't rocket science with Kilkenny, but they had the players. It was the perfect game plan. You had the Tommy Walsh's, who was brilliant, and they'd clear the ball down. And then you'd Comerford, and he'd put up the hurl or put up his hand, and and knock it out, and then there's someone running off him like Richie a demon Power. Richie Power or Eddie Brennan, and they're picking it up and it's over the bar, whereas now those long balls are breaking and there's a Tadhg De Burka picking them up. So like, I mean, it is a huge difference to how they used to like to get scores.
Yeah, but that's the aerial dominance gone. That's what like previous Cody teams were so good in the air, they'd win every ball, the majority of balls they'd win or knock it down to a player, whereas when you watch them recently, halfbacks are catching balls over the half forward line and fullbacks are catching balls over the full forward line, and that's happening all over the pitch, even the halfback line of Kilkenny. So that's the aerial dominance isn't there that it once was.
Yeah.
So that's where teams are going to start picking them off.
Come here, we have to focus on 1B now, because we want to talk about Dublin, are pretty much the most interesting team. Well, obviously Limerick and Galway might have something to say about that. Limerick seem to be completely screwed because they happen to have a good club team in the county, like, which is completely unfair on them. They're struggling bad enough to get out of Division 1B without being down 10 Pearshig players. But Dublin, Michael, right, so we have a whole host of players back into the mix, with Dublin, and like, I mean, Conal's the oldest one of them, but Conal was probably the surprise, but like, I'm sure Conal can still do a job maybe on the edge of the square for Dublin. But Dublin look like they're in the perfect division to build a bit of momentum and get into a quarter final. They've loads of leaders back. They have unearthed a few new players last year because they were decimated with numbers. So that was almost like the perfect preparation year for Gilroy. Mm. Is it the perfect time to come in and take over Dublin hurling?
Absolutely. I think I'm very excited about this year with Dublin. They've some really good young players coming through. Donald Burke and even the lads who are hitting 25, 26 now, they're in their peak of their career. And then you're bringing back the likes of Johnny McCaffrey, Joey Boland, Danny Sutcliffe's back. It's unbelievable. And Connell, and they're bringing this physicality and experience back to the panel, which is so much needed after the past 2 years. I'm really excited watching them over the last two or three games. They're bringing this physicality to it, and it's the sort of Galway blueprint that won them the All-Ireland last year.
Right,
they're big, they're physical.
Dublin are a big team, right?
And they're taking on players all the time, so it's exciting to watch them.
Yeah, looking from the outside, Paddy, like, I mean, Dublin will be definitely a county that most neutrals will be interested in this year.
Yeah, and I think the second that Gilroy was announced, I thought it was an excellent appointment, and that's the catalyst. Like, they needed someone in there that would take people's you know, just take them and bring them back in, because they were just bobbing along at sea there for the last couple of years, and he'd get people excited. And it doesn't matter that he wasn't playing at Dublin or any of that at county level. That doesn't matter. He's already brought Dublin footballers somewhere that they couldn't get for so long. There was such a mental block there.
Yeah.
And when he did that, I think if you're a Dublin hurler now and you're saying, I can't wait for this, this man obviously has some way about him. And to be honest with you, I know Jerry Cunningham finished off poorly in Galway, but I think he's supposed to be a bit of a dog by all accounts, so I think that's actually not a bad thing either, you know. And as long as he's not the head honcho, sometimes, you know, you can't have a tough man like that as head honcho, but you need a certain type of person in your backroom team. If you think about when you play with a certain player, you know, you hate him, he's such a pain, he'd be on you all the time saying, you know, improve or come on. But even though he's a pain in the backside, you still probably do that little bit extra. So I think he's a nice little mix there. And as Mick said, they got a few players back in. I thought Mick would be back in himself, to be honest with you. But they got a few of the older stock back in. And some of them younger players showed, you know, Donald Fullback for me was unbelievable last year. You know, Peter Kelly coming back in then into the back line. So if you can get that mix, like, they're going to be very, very hard to beat. And I can guarantee you, first things first, defence will be shored up. They'll have a free taker. You know, they'll be in most matches that they play, and from there then, you know, they'll probably try and build that through the league, and from that then he'll try and maybe contest Leinster. But look, I don't see him contesting in All-Ireland this year, really in the top 3 or 4, but I think they'll be building over the next year for maybe 2 years' time.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. But like, Cunningham was an interesting one, because, like, I mean, I would have thought Gilroy wouldn't touch off a coach who has been given the red card by players. I thought Gilroy would be maybe a little too smart for that. I don't want to be disrespectful to Cunningham, but then you look at Cunningham in 2012, like, Galway were sensational. They were rotating their forwards around the field. I remember, like, they had Kilkenny bamboozled in an All-Ireland final. Tommy Walsh was playing corner back at one stage, because, you know, they had their tactics down to a T. And, like, he is a modern manager. He is a thinker of the game. criticism of him in Galway is that he didn't change everything year on year. Things stagnated and stayed the same, and maybe he is a bit pig-headed, but he won't be able to be like that because, as we all know, the coach is like your friend and the manager is that level above. So like maybe this dynamic will work.
Absolutely, and I don't think Pat Gilroy would be a man who anyone would tell him what to do. I think he's his own man. He'll pick who he wants there in his backroom team. And from what I've heard so far, all the lads are very positive about the training and matches. And from watching them, they're improving immensely already. And they have a game plan. And they're physical and they take a man on. And I think once he gets 100% from the players, I think they're going to give it a good push. Again, as I agree with Paddy, I think it's too early for an All-Ireland or to beat the contenders. But in 3 years, in 3 years' time, I expect them to be there or thereabouts.
And will all these fellas now coming back in? Because, like, I mean, we saw a lot of the older fellas were marginalised by Ger Cunningham, even including yourself. And, you know, you've gone on record criticising Cunningham. But what if Gilroy is in now and he's not promising any of these lads starts? Like, I mean, that was a lot of the issue with Cunningham, was that they weren't getting starts, or was it that Cunningham, it was a bigger picture thing? Like, will they be happy with, say, being impact subs under Pat Gilroy, or do these fellas think that they should be on the team?
No, all them lads just want to play for Dublin. If it's for 10 minutes or 70 minutes, they want to be there. It was more honesty with under the previous manager.
Right.
You were being told one thing and the other thing was happening.
Okay.
So, if from what I hear, Pat's going to be honest with them. He'll tell them exactly, if you're good enough, you'll play. And that's all the lads would ask for, you know. So I think they're huge men to bring back, both from experience they have, and they're great hurlers, and they're still top hurlers in the club at the moment, so they've every right to be there. I just think, like, with Danny and Connell back, it's physicality again. It's huge. They're huge men. They can win ball when you need ball to be won.
Yeah.
And like Danny being an all-star and then leaving, he was such a huge loss. He's one of the top hurlers in the county, so, and the country. So I just think he'd be delighted to get them back, you know.
You're the only one who said publicly that Cunningham wasn't at the races. Everybody else, I've grilled Conal Keeney more times in this podcast and he's smiling at me in the studio and I couldn't get him to say it. So, like, I mean, Sutcliffe, you can read between the lines, like, he just disappeared. He didn't go on record either. None of them wanted to say anything.
Well, your head's on the chopping block a bit. if you do say something, then they do well. But no, look, just being honest. You've given, that's all players ask for, honesty, and managers ask that of you, so you ask the same back. And if you don't get it, I don't think players are going to be happy. So it's too much of a commitment not to get it. So
yeah.
And all them lads give 100% and they're all honest lads. So I think they'd be great for the panel now at the moment.
Do you think reading into it a little bit too much that your honesty might have gone against you now when Gilroy came in and says, here, I don't want this mouthpiece coming in here?
No, I wasn't good enough for the club last year. So no, you have to hurl him well.
Yeah,
Connell was hurling really well and he deserves a call back. Like, to be honest with you, he doesn't have to be that mobile.
Right, no.
He's so physical and he's so good
in the
dressing room.
Yeah.
And he's so good in the high ball. Like, if I was a manager, I'd have him back because he's that personality around the dressing room. He's a very confident man and I think he'd be great for high balls, dropping rain in on him in the full forward line.
Yeah.
He lads will feed off him. Even if he doesn't win primary possession, a full back is not going to catch a ball over him that too often. So
no.
I think he'd be good for the men around him.
Yeah, and we'll have to tread carefully with Conal. He's a friend of the show, obviously, this year. So we'll be very good to him. We can't do a league preview. Obviously, we're going to focus on every team throughout the league, but like the league preview is difficult to know who to actually focus on. But like, I mean, we have to mention the All-Ireland champions. And Paddy, like, I mean, winning an All-Ireland, I've never done it. Michael's never done it. Win an All-Ireland in September, celebrate that All-Ireland, and then have to come back down to start all over again. Like, I mean, I can only imagine psychologically how difficult that is, because, like, I'm sure you'd be looking forward to getting back into it, to get back with the lads because you have such a bond with them, but still getting back to that pitch and the distraction of maybe bringing the cup around and all these things that is definitely going to be going on in Galway. They hadn't won it since 88, wasn't it, or 89? And, like, I mean, Micheál Donoghue has no experience of managing this kind of thing. So, and then we have a new championship, which we talked a lot about at the start of the year. Galway are probably a little bit all over the place.
Yeah, it's so different because it's what you've always worked for. Every player in Galway that ever put on a jersey and held a hurley wanted to win in All-Ireland, you know, club and county. So to actually get to that real final goal it's a weird one afterwards, because you'll talk, the panel will talk itself blue about new year, new goals, but talk will only get you so far. You have to feel things. No, and I'm not privy to it. They could be met up for and ready to go and ready to rock for another 9 months or whatever it'll take. But it's a very, very hard thing to talk into players. I've gone through 3 months of a year, even at times, where we've just been playing so, so poor. And then it's nearly through the beatings that then you get a spur on again to get going again. So it's very hard. That's their biggest challenge, like. Let's be honest. Like, they have the best, you know, they probably have the best set of players in the country at the minute. Certainly on last year's showing they have. The biggest challenge is, are they ambitious enough? And again, you cannot talk that into yourself. Either you feel it or you don't feel it. Okay, the management have a bit to play, but that is the big thing. If they are, if they're in any good form, they'll make semi-finals anyway, no problem. But it's whether they really have the bit between their teeth for a two in a row. And like anybody who tells you, oh, they will, I know this team, or I think these things, you haven't a clue until you see them playing during the year. It's just impossible to know.
The championship will suit them this year, I think, because there's six games. It's not knockout, and even if they're playing poorly for a game or two, they can find their feet within the games. Then I think it will suit them. Age isn't an issue for them. They're a very young team. They're so physical. It's just the thing that the county hasn't won two in a row in a while now. So are they capable of it? It's a mentality thing. It's definitely all psychological.
That's the thing. But like, I mean, it's an aghast with the All Ireland champions. Like, I'm looking at that Galway team now, saying that team, I don't see what places are up for grabs on it. Because, and it was the same with Tipperary last year. Now we see loads of places that are up for grabs for Tipperary, but with Galway, I don't see them. But is that the mistake that they fall in, that teams that win in All-Ireland fall into, as in, we're strong, you need to freshen it up? And you see it with the Dublin footballers, like Conor Callaghan and Niall Scully came in last year to a team which you thought had no, you know what I mean, no places up for grabs, without the two or three new lads that are going to drive everyone on and be infectious and be that kind of, have that raw determination, who've never experienced this or never been on the starting team. Like, do Galway need to say, right, this is, that 15 is brilliant, but I'm going to have to be ruthless with that 15, or else, you know, they're like, I think I was listening to some quotes or reading some quotes from Tommy Walsh. He was at some summit there recently, and he was like, he was never afraid of Brian Cody, but he was afraid of losing his position. Mm-hmm. And like, I mean, that was it. He said that some players who might do brilliant in an All-Ireland final, I think he might have been
Charlie Carter,
yeah, but even, no, I think he was kind of maybe talking about Shane O'Donnell with Clare, that the following year their form mightn't be great, but to stay on the team. He says that never happened in Kilkenny. So like, I mean, anyone that's losing a bit of form in Galway, should they be dropped, or should they have enough respect built up to say he'll play himself into form? It's not an easy kind of,
yeah, I'd say dropped if you're going to follow Brian Cody's mantra. And he's won number of All-Irelands one after another. He was ruthless. Like, if a top player wasn't playing well, he was gone. But then you get that hunger to want to be back there, and you hear about their training matches and what went on, and that's where lads got their place for that Kilkenny panel. So if I was a Galway manager, I'd be ruthless, and if lads weren't up to it, they'd be gone, and it's up to them to fight back and get their position.
Yeah,
and I think that gets that fight in the team, you know.
Yeah, a couple of matches off in the league is not going to kill anyone, Paddy, and you know, could do the world of good.
Yeah, definitely has to be hard, but very, very fair. Yeah. I think if he goes out with an agenda to say, right, I'm going to drop lads here, but to keep standards up, definitely.
Yeah.
There has to be a couple of lads that are left out, but he's getting a couple of good lads. There's a couple of lads coming on a sub there, so I could see a few forwards, you know, maybe, because I think a lot of time in the back line, you know, standards have to be up because you don't want your forward to score. But in the forwards, you know, there's probably no harm taking lads off early. I know McRyan did it last year, though.
He did. I was going to say that, actually. Yeah, he maybe overdid it.
I don't know, did it work out?
No.
Yeah, overdid it, I would say, maybe. But at the end of the day, if they got one new lad in starting, or if they had two new lads that were coming in as sub, just to keep that hunger going. But I definitely think, I said last year, Tip would be in trouble if they had more or less the same team going out in the Cork match. And not that was the reason, but they were in trouble after, because there was obviously no energy coming into the team and no fright for the lads on the team. And you need them kind of primal type feelings that you are up for a match, that you have the adrenaline. And I think, like Michael, I don't know, we have to look at that and say, maybe I need a, you know, as I say, a public hanging.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes needed for the rest of them to be scared.
I actually remember it was Michael Breen was taken off before half time. Mm. So Michael Ryan, nearly on paper, did everything that you'd analyse, keep these lads on their toes,
absolutely.
You know. And then Tipperary just ended up having a nightmare start to the championship, but then obviously performed against Galway. So like, it's difficult maybe to analyse. I'd say Michael Ryan learned an awful lot maybe from last year's experience.
Yeah. It's a learning curve for him as well, I suppose. And he's very lucky with the players he has there. He's a really strong panel, so I wouldn't change too much of that guy, I think, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, well, see, there's the mistake you're going to fall into, Michael. You see, there you go. That's the problem Micheál Donoghue's going to have. Right, listen, we'll come back in a minute with some predictions.
After the match with with Marty Morrissey and the Marty squad, and the big thing for me yesterday with Clare versus Galway was
Did you ask permission to do the Marty squad there?
I didn't, but I was only a special guest. Last Thursday, you asked me the same question when I started Bubbles, and I said yes on the Marty squad. Says yes, I would have started Bubbles for that game yesterday. That was the first I heard of Johnny King coming back with the Galway squad. You know, I was asked just in the Marty squad.
Here, Damien, are you getting paid for Marty squad jokes on our show here?
That's three.
Wait, no, I do that completely voluntarily.
He hits it. It's over the bar. Oh, holy Moses! What a match!
Move away from the messing there, lads. Right, we have a serious show to do here. Right?
All right, lads, we'll do some predictions here. First, we're going to do predictions for the whole league, which we can show back to you when the league's over, which we don't always cover ourselves in glory with this one. And we'll do some predictions for the weekend as well. So, Michael, I'll start with you. It's Division 1 and 2. League champions, we'll start with.
I fancy Tip. I think after last year, they'll have something to prove. No one's talking about them, and they'll love that coming into the league. So, for the winners, I fancy Tip this year.
Okay, who did it beat in the final?
I think they'll beat Cork. I think with John Moyler there and lads be able to prove themselves to him, new management, bit of new blood there, I think I fancy Cork and Tip.
Okay, that's an interesting one. We'll talk about Cork more on Monday. We'll have JJ Delaney and hopefully Dermot O'Sullivan on as well. What do you think, Paddy? Who's going to win the league and who's going to be the finalists?
I think Tiff could do it, and I'm certainly not just trying to back me. I think they need to find players, and I think the players need to be very, very hungry to get on teams. I'm just going to say Tip. And the final, I think Waterford maybe could make a run at it, because I think they could do with silverware. You know, I think they could do it winning something and celebrating something, a bit of belief, something different this year, you know. And he might take on the league a little bit this year, then maybe relax for the Munster. So I'll say Waterford.
Right, okay, so they're the two. Although the noises coming out of Derek McGrath isn't really pointing towards him. He's so honest, Derek McGrath, when it comes to this kind of stuff. Like, he's almost like, I remember Jim McGuinness categorically saying, I don't care about the league. Derek McGrath picked a dummy team last year in the quarterfinal, which could scupper, if he does that, Paddy, could scupper that prediction. But I think he said something this week about not being obsessed about the league. Last year he said they were obsessed about not being relegated because of the psychological impact it would have on him. This year he says he's in his fourth year. I think he's a little bit more secure about himself, and he's kind of like, we want to perform in every game. If we're relegated, we're relegated. If we get to the final, he kind of has a mature attitude towards it.
Yeah, as an outsider, he's a manager you'd love to have, I think. Sorry, Gatti. No, he's a manager you'd love to have as an outsider. He's very open the way he speaks. And the players seem to have admire him hugely. And I think he'll do well with Waterford this year, to be honest with you.
Yeah, okay, right. Who's going to get relegated, lads, and who's in the relegation playoff? Go with you, Michael, first.
I think Wexford and Kilkenny. It'll be between Wexford and Kilkenny.
Oh, Davies.
Look, Wexford are only up. They might struggle in games because it's a very tough league, and Kilkenny, as I said, are in the transitional period, so I think they might struggle a little bit as well. So I fancy Kilkenny and Wexford, and Wexford to go down.
Kilkenny to beat Wexford.
Yeah.
Okay, what do you think, Paddy? I don't fancy your jobs here, lads, predicting this, because you could predict anyone to win it and anyone to get relegated. The teams are on such a kind of a level. It's almost like picking bloody lotto numbers isn't it?
Because
it
is. Sit in the fence.
And then you're not 100% sure, like in the Tipperary dressing room, they could be saying to each other, lads, let's not go mad on this. They wouldn't be saying that, but they could be running up hills the day before again. You know, that kind of, don't really know, you know.
No, you wouldn't have a clue, and that's what I'm saying. It's very hard. You're just kind of nearly, I guess, at times, because, you know, one team that's maybe poor or not as good as top tier could be absolutely
frothing at the mouth for this league, so you haven't a clue when they could be peaking for. So, but I'm just going to say Cork and Clare in the relegation, and I'd say Clare for relegation, but that's not that might happen now. But I just think Cork are going to struggle a little bit starting off. They have a new system, we'll say a new management system, and I think there could be a few injuries there, and to try and get going early in the league. If they don't get going early, that could be tough on their whole league scenario. And then, you know, Clare coming in, there's a lot of teams in it. It's not that they're a bad team, but again, will the winter hurling suit them? I'm not so sure. And after building themselves up in the Munster League, you know, playing those matches, I don't know, will it actually benefit them that much coming in against fresher teams.
Okay, right, great stuff. So that's your predictions, lads, and we're going to keep a predictions league this year. We've tweeted out a link to a website which is going to track our predictions, and any of the listeners can also register and join the league with us, and let's see who ends up on top at the end. So check out at the GAR for those links. Right, lads, quickly we'll just run through, because we Paddy, you have to go. We're going to just run through the games here quickly. So Cork versus Kilkenny. Michael, who do you fancy in that one?
Fancy Cork
at home to Kilkenny. Paddy?
Kilkenny,
right, okay, we're different on that one. So we have Saturday night game as well. That Cork Kilkenny's on Air Sport. Another one on Air Sport is the early game, Dublin versus Offaly. We'd imagine we've got three of us will go for Dublin in this one.
Yeah.
At home to Offaly, Paddy, you're not going to throw a spanner in the works there. No.
No.
Right, so we've got Sunday then at 2 o'clock. This is on TG4, Clare versus Tipperary. Jeez, lads, there's so many great bloody hurling games on TV this weekend. Clare at home to Tipperary. So this is a little bit of a closer one. Judging on who you both think will win the league, I think I know who you're both going to go for.
Yeah, I think Tip, yeah.
Tipperary here, Paddy, you the same?
Yeah,
I'll go for Clare in this one, Raz. Really throw a spanner into the works. Right, Waterford versus Wexford. This is potentially a great game. Two similarly matched teams, a local derby. Wexford absolutely not in any way afraid of Waterford. Waterford, we're not sure how they're going to treat the league. We know Wexford are going to be going crazy for it. So who do you fancy, Michael, here?
I still fancy Waterford. Yeah, definitely at home. So I think Waterford.
Yeah, home advantage makes a big difference in the football and the hurling. Yeah. It's massive, isn't it? Yeah. Paddy, who do you fancy there?
Same, yeah, just Walsh Park, very, very hard to go with.
Yeah, okay, that's true. Okay, and then Galway Antrim, you're all going to go for Galway here, and Limerick against Laois in the Gaelic rounds. Unfortunately for my county, I'd imagine everybody here is going to go for Limerick. Right, that's it for this week. We're out of time. We'll be back on Monday with a review show.
And when I started running, I suppose I didn't stop, and when I got the chance to go, I said I'd stay going, so I opened up.
We were only the small little fish out there, so we are on there. We're trying hard to make it through, but it's hard to get the brakes when you're the smaller fish.
I love this county so much, you know, and it's just, I'm delighted that the lads did it for the people of Waterford today, because, like, I'm heartbroken.